Next on News for the Soul, learn intuitive skills with Tina. Tina Zion is a fourth-generation intuitive medium, an internationally known expert in medical intuition and mediumship. As an award-winning author and instructor, she teaches medical intuition and mediumship skills to students around the world. And now she's here to teach you on News for the Soul. Please welcome Tina Zion back to News for the Soul.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so, so much for joining me. And I am Tina Zion, and I am absolutely thrilled. I'll probably say this every show. I'm absolutely thrilled to be part of News for the Soul. And I even love that title, News for the Soul, because I love talking about the level of the soul. And I want to share with you that you are already intuitive. You, all of you, every single one of you listening, are already an intuitive and already a medium. And if you want to take this into a healer, a position of being a healer, that's certainly open to you too. So that's where I want to begin with that, is you're already intuitive and you're already a medium. It's really simply a matter of noticing and a matter of paying attention to how really powerful we all really are. Now, today's topic I want to talk about is the 18 pathways that the universe is constantly communicating with us. Now, there's probably more than 18, but I've come up with 18 of them, and I've put that in, I think, my advanced book, the second edition. So I want to tell you that these are pathways, and I'm going to talk about just some simple examples of how these different pathways are giving us information. And it's truly, truly a matter of us not discounting, not dismissing what these things are about when they do happen. Now, here's a couple of keys about this. Do not work hard at trying to be intuitive. That's really, really important. Don't work hard to try to be intuitive. And think about this. Do not try or actively search for these signals, because really these 18 pathways that I'm going to talk about are really ways the universe signals a communication, a piece of wisdom, something to us. So I've noticed that simply the difference between noticing, so now really make this, all my sessions, I want you to make this about you. Feel the difference between noticing all the world around you and the difference from that and from searching for information around you. So as I say that, really notice the feeling of noticing or searching. Because I'm going to ask you to simply notice. And I tell everybody, I'll probably say this every time, every show, is that I think I really teach people really how to notice more than anything else. Notice the very subtle. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's not very subtle either. So do not work and do not search. Simply notice the world around you. Notice what keeps pulling at you or drawing your attention to it. Now that's really key. And just notice, you'll feel a pull or you'll feel a drawing of your attention to it. It's kind of like if you keep, you know, listening to my show, because this is going to be all about your intuitive and mediumship abilities and not really mine, because I want you to notice these things. And notice the things that keep repeating or frequently coming into your awareness. And that's another key, is these important signals will actually keep repeating. And what I've noticed is when I finally notice the signal, that signal kind of like falls away, because you've noticed it and you received a piece of wisdom from that. So notice the things that keep repeating, and notice the things that frequently come into your awareness. So if you want to, have a paper and pencil or even your computer. And the first one I want to talk about out of the 18 is, believe it or not, your name. Now, a lot of people tell me that they've noticed that my last name is Zion, and did I make that up because it's in the Bible? And I say, no, I didn't make it up. It's actually my birth name. And after I was divorced, I legally changed it back to my birth name because it felt so, so right. So sometimes we have our birth name, we have our married name, and some of you might have even chosen a different name for yourself. I know a lot of people that have done that, that have chosen, like one. It's kind of like I saw Cher on the TV, this weekend. And she, we all know her as Cher. I don't even know what her full name is. And it's kind of like that. So our name sends out a signal to the universe. So, but when we females especially change our names and take on our partner or the male's name or the female's, well, it's mostly the male's name, that you have changed the energetic signal. And sometimes that feels deeply, deeply right. And sometimes, like me, it felt deeply, deeply wrong. So notice that about yourself right now, the name that you, your birth name, your married name, or the name that you have actually chosen for yourself, like Cher did. Okay? So that's the first signal. And most people, in fact, I didn't notice this for a long time, most people don't recognize their name as a signal out to the universe, but also a signal to other people. Our name says a lot about us. All right, now, the pathway number two. The environment around us is constantly, constantly, constantly giving us signals, sending us messages. We're like an antenna standing out and receiving and sending information. So, for instance, our environment, you could be in a bookstore. I'm going to try to give you lots of stories about each one of these to make it more real for everybody. But sometimes you could be standing and walking through a library or a bookstore, and a book just lights up in your mind. You're looking at the shelf, you're looking at all ends of the books where all the titles are at, and one just pulls you, one just lights up to you. And I'll give you some of my personal stories. I was in a bookstore, and literally, this was actually happened. So the book, I was moving some books around, and one fell out on the floor. I picked it up, and it was Michael Newton's book, and it was Journey of the Soul. And I thought, ooh, and I picked that up and looked through it. And he discovered a lot of past lives. Now, he was actually a psychologist, a counselor, and yet he noticed that his clients, many of them, began to go into a more of a hypnotic state. And so he began to pick up and do more hypnosis with people. And I was already, now think about this, I was already a hypnotherapist, and I was already doing mostly past life regressions. And here this book just fell on the floor in front of me. And so I ended up And going to, where did I go? The Netherlands, Amsterdam in the Netherlands. He was actually lived in California. But he was doing his, I think it was, became his last course that he taught. So there again, I caught him just in time, or the universe rather took me to him just in time. And so then I began to incorporate his particular steps for life between lives, regression. So if that book is standing out to you as I talked about it, you might think about picking that up, because I could not put it down, And I incorporate it because I used to do, I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, and I used to do that. And so I incorporated that in, but the environment of the bookstore literally tossed the book at my feet, and my life changed. My life changed, and so did it change for my clients who came to me for past life regressions, who came to me for that deepening experience, which I just love. A friend of mine, he told me not too long ago that antennas were standing out to him. Didn't matter where he went, he was seeing, and you know, some of these older cars had the wire antennas sticking up there on the side of the car, on the hood. And he was, I guess he told me this a long time ago, he said, antennas are standing out to me all over the place. And I said, well, what do antennas truly signify to you? And so he told me what it signified to him. And he said, well, it's about communication. It's about receiving clear communication. And he said, oh, my gosh, Tina, I have struggled in communicating with one of the staff people in my department. And as soon as he recognized how antennas were a signal to him from the universe, he made amends with that person in his store. I love that. I love that example. And then one more example about the environment. I love this one. One of my mentoring students, she said, you know, Tina, this is when she first began to work with me. She says, you know, Tina, I just think that maybe, I just wonder, is this really real? Do I really have divine and sacred guides, you know? She said, so I was driving down this, I think it was a six-lane highway. She said, I was driving down the highway, and she said, I just put out there to the universe. She said, you know, if I really do have divine and sacred guides, I want to see a pink vehicle. Because, and she, I said, why did you pick a pink? She said, because there really aren't many pink vehicles in the world. Literally, she sent me a photo that as she was driving, I don't know how she did that, but as she was driving, she said a big truck came up beside of her in its lane and speeded up and then went, you know, just angled in front of her in her lane, and it was brilliant pink. But there's more to it than that. She said, Tina, on the back of it, and she showed me the photo that she took while she was driving. I think I had to think about it and say, we are here for you. And, you know, I love to say this. We can't make this stuff up. It's impossible if you're truly, truly interacting with the universe around you. We just can't make this stuff up. So she thought she was sending out a real particular, very hard signal to the universe, and it was there. She said probably, I think, within 5 minutes, there it was, the signal from the universe. And not only was it a pink truck, it also had a message to her just written across the back of the truck. Is that cool or what? I love that. I just love that. So that's the second one. We did our name, the environment. And the third one I want to bring up are clouds. So we could call that the environment, but I like to have it as its own pathway, because people have tended over the years to send me pictures of clouds and the forms that are in clouds. There was a picture, many pictures people have sent me of angels. I look at that, and it is clearly an angel with giant wings, all kinds of angel forms. I was out in our backyard and with some of my other intuitive friends, and we were discussing different guides that we have, and someone looked up, and there in the clouds, now this was night, but it was a full moon, there was the most formed, beautiful face with eyes, nose, mouth, ears, everything in the form of a human made in the clouds. It was beautiful, and we were mesmerized, and we just watched it. And as soon as we noticed it and watched it for a little bit, it just started to break up and just kind of fade away. Now, one of my favorite stories about the clouds is I travel a lot, and especially now this year, I'm traveling really the first time all over the place to do my courses in person since COVID. And so I am in a lot of planes, and there I looked out the window, which I rarely do, by the way. I looked out the window, and it was daylight, and I thought, what am I seeing? And we got closer and closer, and there was the clearest Santa Claus, the traditional Santa Claus image, sitting in this massive, massive chair, and it was all clouds. My mouth was hanging open. I'm still like shocked, and I was so shocked I didn't even think to get the phone out and take a picture of it. But there was Santa Claus. Now, what's key about these things, seeing angels, seeing, a picture of a guide in clouds, Santa Claus, is what do those particular things or whatever you have seen in clouds, what is the particular meaning of that to you? So Santa Claus is the giver of dreams. You know, he's the giver of gifts. And in my life at that time, that made a huge, huge difference. So I received this clear Santa Claus, still makes me giggle, and that was probably 10 years ago, in a massive cloud chair. And there he was, giving me a signal. Actually, the universe was giving me the signal. I'm smiling here on this radio show just talking about it. I love that. All right, so that was number three, was clouds. Now, number four, if you're jotting these things down, are dreams. Now, people tell me about their dreams a lot. I hear about dreams all the time. And let me tell you what happens with me in dreams. And I love it when I can give validation to something. When something happens, it really validates the intuitive information that we do get. And so in my dream, and in my dreams, oh gosh, I would say almost every night, I am traveling. And I am with groups of people that I do not know. So I'm with lots and lots of people almost every single night. And I tend to know what country I'm in even. And so this became very, very natural to me, very, very natural. And I wake up and I'll know that I have been in India, or I'll know that I've been in England or Germany or, you know, Canada or someplace. And here's the validation that within a couple of days, I begin to receive emails from people in the countries that I knew I was teaching at in my dreams. You can't make this stuff up. So there I was in my dreams teaching these people. Now, I have the cutest story. A woman emailed me, and she said, Tina, I dreamed about you last night. And she said, here's my dream. She said, you were in this huge, she said, it kind of looked like a golden chapel, and you were up front, and you were teaching people something, you know, she didn't know what, because she said, I walked in late. And she said, I knew I was late, but I walked in. And as I was walking in, Tina, you stopped talking. And you just watched me. And she said, I said, well, then what happened? And she said, you stopped talking and looked at me and said, don't ever be late again. And I was cracking up. That was so delightful. But look how these dreams, something is really happening. People from all these countries will get back with me and say, you were in my dream last night. I've had people tell me that I came into their dream and they didn't even know who I was. So I love that. So now think about this, and again, make this about you. What dreams have you had recently that seem unusual? You seem to be doing things that you don't normally do. And here's the next thing I want to talk about dreams, is how many of your deceased loved ones have come to you in dreams? Now, here's generally what I hear from people when their deceased loved ones show up in their dreams. They say, oh, that was just a dream. I must just be thinking about this person who's died, this relative or this dear, dear friend. I probably just thought about them throughout the day. And this is one of the things that most people truly just blow off and dismiss. But I'm here to tell you, when a deceased person comes into your dreams, they are truly reaching out to you. They are truly trying to communicate with you through this pathway of dreams. Now, here's the next thing I've noticed. When the deceased come to us in dreams, it's almost always because you're not recognizing them in your waking day, in your waking life throughout your day or your evening. When you think about a deceased person, just suddenly out of nowhere you start thinking about them, they are truly there. They are truly standing there with you. They are truly reaching out to you. So I've noticed if most of the time your deceased loved ones come to you in dreams, it's usually they tend to rely on dreams to get through to you because they're not getting through to you during your waking hours. So I love that. So take a moment just for you and think about what deceased people have come into your dreams over the years or even recently. Now, the most of the time, I want you to notice that they're coming to you during your waking time. So take that as a key signal that this person is really coming to me in my waking time. So I'm bringing in some mediumship here, which I love. So here we go. So that was number four, was dreams. Now, number five, which is so neat too, is the universe and spirit and your guides and just the universe in general will tend to use the television, and I lump the television and the computer together into one. And I have had people say that they've been on the computer, they're Googling and searching for something completely different. And I had one woman in Wales who is still a real dear soul to me in my life. She said she was doing something else on her computer and my picture and name popped up on her screen like out of nowhere. I don't even know how that happened really or why, but you know, of course, the spirit came to her, and she became one of my mentoring students because of that. She was a nurse, or is still a nurse, in Wales, and has been very, very, very doing well as a medical intuitive for people in her country. So my notice is if information pops on your computer out of nowhere, and yet somehow it connects in with your current life. So again, make it about you. And then on TV, I've noticed many times when people are being interviewed, they will say something profound that just opens up my heart. And I'll jot down those beautiful, beautiful words that they just said. So the universe, you know, they adjust with us and hopefully we adjust with them. The universe is using the TV and the computer. So they're using our modern technology to for another pathway to enter into our lives, to connect with us, to bring us signals, to bring us guidance, because that's really what we're talking about here, is the different ways that the universe is communicating with us for a reason. See, there's reasons. This isn't just any old message that they're sending to us. This is very, very detailed and very significant and very, very important. So begin to notice that, the computer and the TV. All right, number six. I love to talk about deja vu. And with deja vu, most people say, oh gosh, they're amazed, you know, when they have felt like they've been in a moment in time, and people say, oh, I'm having a deja vu. It seems like I've already done this before. And we really have done this before. And I don't have time to get into this real deeply, but we humans are very, very powerful, and there's much, much more to us than just our physical life, just our physical body. We are truly able to travel across time and across dimensions, to certain moments of time, to certain locations. And, you know, there's lots of books out there about that, that there's many, many time dimensions going on for each of us. But deja vu, just notice that. I had a friend who did a tour through the cabins in Salem, Massachusetts, where there was a lot of witch burnings, and, you know, there's a very historical area about the horrific things that they did to people who were accused of being witches. And there were different buildings that the tour took her to, and she said she walked into this one cabin, and she absolutely knew that she had been there before. I think she said that she had lived there before. And while she was standing there, there was, I think it was a fireplace tool hanging there next to the fireplace. And she said that tool began to rock back and forth. Ooh, I have goosebumps telling you that. So she already knew she had been there. So again, she had probably a past life awareness then. And deja vu really fits in with my traveling around to different countries teaching. And then I actually know, and I end up actually teaching in those countries. So see, there's movement. We are able, we humans, we mere humans, are able to travel literally across time, across space, dimensions, to different times and locations. So that's my number six, my pathway number six of how the universe is communicating and how we are interacting with the universe as well. Okay, number seven. Number seven is the number seventh pathway is deceased people themselves. I know I brought them up in dreams, but that's really how they're trying a different way, multiple ways to get through to us. So I give deceased people the number seven here, which then the numbers, you know, don't mean any significance and importance. It's just the next pathway I've noticed are deceased people. And many people question whether it's real. They question, oh, they think that they're just making it up. Now, how many times have you, as a listener here, how many times have you thought, oh, you know, that can't be real. That doesn't make any sense. And how could, you know, my beloved come to me because they're deceased? But they really, really do, because I always say that deceased people are just as alive as we are. They're just as alive people. And they will come to us in our dreams when they can't get through during our waking times. So I want to talk about deceased people in our waking times. And the one of the most unusual stories that I have is a friend of mine stopped at a gas station 2 hours away from my house because she was heading to my house. And she got a gas for her car. She got back in her car, and this was, I think, 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And she began the two-hour drive to my house. And she kept seeing a flash in the back seat of her car, and the flash kept going back and forth. It went from the right to the left, or left to the right, and the flash kept going back and forth. And so she got to my house, and it was so late, you know, we just went to bed. And I got to think how this went here. There was so much noise in my downstairs that it woke us both up. And so I literally astral projected, and we can talk about that in one of the other shows, but I literally sat in bed and astral projected, which means I just stretched out with my senses, with my sensory, very hypersensory sensors, and just roamed around in my house looking around all over the upstairs, and I didn't perceive anything. And I went astral projected downstairs, and I went back into this bedroom, one of the bedrooms down there. And now, literally, I was still in bed, but I astral projected to the doorway of this bedroom. And there I witnessed, probably a young male. He might have been in his late teens, early 20s. And the closer that I got to the bedroom, I could hear him crashing back and forth, banging into one wall and then throwing himself into the other wall. And when I got to the door, he was freaking out literally even more. And so just intuitively, I just spoke to him and I said, "Now, I'm not going to do you any harm. I want you to notice you are in my downstairs and you're in one of the bedrooms. And I want you to notice that I'm really just an older woman here. I'm not going to hurt you." So I just talked to him, just in common sense talk. And he stopped swinging himself all over the place. And he told me that he's so terrified because someone's trying to kill him. So now realize my friend picked him up, so to speak, in a gas station 2 hours away from here. And literally, he did not realize that he was deceased. He was still so terrified, you know, for his life. And so I talked to him about that and convinced him that he really has been killed. And I can't get into all this now, but I probably will later here in our shows together. And I helped him cross over into the light. So deceased people are just as alive as we are, and we can communicate with them just as easily as we can communicate right now with each other. But I think that's it's a dramatic story, but I tend to use some of the dramatic stories to really clarify for people, to make people know that this is really real. And so look how real that was for him. And then guess what? All the racket, all the noise in my house just subsided. And you could feel throughout the whole house, just that peace again. And then we both went back to bed, you know, and slept out the rest of the night. I don't know if my friend slept, but I went back to sleep. Okay, so the universe is literally speaking to us, communicating with us, that deceased people are real. Deceased people are just as alive as we are. And again, make this about yourself. The more you notice that, without fear, there's no reason to be afraid. They're just as alive as we are, that's all. That this is one of the ways that we are becoming more and more aware of deceased people. Now, I do want to bring up that lots of people tell me, oh, I want to be more intuitive. I, you know, love your books, or I love this radio show. I've been hearing that from people, and thank you very, very much for that. And I want you to realize, though, that they also say, I want to be intuitive, and I want to be a medical intuitive and a medium, but I just don't want to see anybody that's deceased. Well, that's okay to see deceased people. That's all right, because that's part of the world that we live in. You are a spirit being right now as you listen to me and in the 18 pathways that the universe communicates with us, that we are just as real as the deceased people, and the deceased people are just as real as we are. That there's really nothing to be afraid of. It's opening up to the non-physical realms around us. So be aware of that. Just be aware and really hear my words. There's no reason to be afraid, because my hope for everybody is to actually relax and be aware that you are a spirit in a alive body. You are an alive spirit in a body that's considered alive in our vocabulary about it, I guess. And there's nothing to be afraid of. They're there anyway. Deceased people are everywhere. I tell people deceased people are in my car. They're out in the field. They're in the grocery store. They are along the road. They're everywhere. So the more you relax with this, the more you will be a part of this, because you already are a spirit also. Okay, so deceased people was number 7. I better get going here with all my stories. So number 8, synchronicity and coincidences. I put those two together, and I read that here's a kind of like a definition of that. A remarkable occurrence of events with no deliberate cause, but significantly related. So a coincidence or synchronicity is a remarkable occurrence of events with no cause. We're not trying to have a synchronicity. We're not trying to have a coincidence, but it just simply happens. It just simply happens. Here's a little beautiful story. That one of my clients' son was a terrible, terrible alcoholic. And he was about 2 years, he became sober. He made it past his 2 years. And then the closer he got to his third year of sobriety, he started telling everybody that he wants a cat really, really, really terribly. He wants a cat in his life. And people thought, well, that's weird. He's never wanted a cat before. But he said, you know, I just feel really strong that I would just really like a cat in my life. But he didn't make any attempts to get a cat in his life. Literally, on the third day, or the, I guess it was the day of his third year of being sober, a cat showed up on his porch. He opened the door. The cat came in, rubbed all over his legs. He sat down. The cat jumped on his lap, and they are together right now today as we speak of this. Now, you can talk about, oh, that was a coincidence, but in my world, and I hope now in your world, you will realize that that wasn't a coincidence at all. It happened on the third year, the very day that he was sober for 3 years. So that's a very, I'm covered with goosebumps even as I talk to you about those words, yeah, that story. All righty. The ninth pathway is nature. Nature in general. So out in the world, I was really wanting to meditate. And I was drawn very, very strongly to a huge woods that is, you know, in my neighborhood. So I said, okay, you know, and I felt that pull. See, I felt that pull and that yearning again. And so I was deep in that woods, another soul, I didn't see another soul, it was just wonderful. And I was walking around and I put out a request to my guides. And I don't even remember quite now what it was, but I put out a request to my guides. Now, the day had been absolutely still every moment. When I questioned and put that question out to the guides, a huge wind, and I could hear it coming through the leaves, I could hear it coming towards me, a huge wind, it was warm and beautiful though, just came through the woods and all the trees started moving and the leaves started making a sound and it just gushed, you know, across me. And I literally heard my guide's words in that wind. So especially nature is the most beautiful, beautiful time for us to be there, to allow nature very, very naturally to be one of our pathways to receive from the universe around us. Okay, number 10, birds. Now, I could throw birds into, you know, the category of nature, but birds tend to stand out on their own to me. And the greatest, I think, probably one of the greatest examples I have of that is a friend called me, and she was absolutely hyperventilating. She was in such a panic. She said she just turned into her driveway, and she has a long ranch-type one-story house, and she said she counted them. There were 12 vultures sitting on the peak all along the entire length of her house, 12 vultures. Now, she took that to mean that she's going to die or someone's going to die or death. She took it as death. And I said, well, now wait a minute. If you think about this, vultures or buzzards, some people call them buzzards, they don't kill anything. They don't even come around when anything is in their death process. What vultures are really known for is to clean up the residual, to clean up something that has already passed, something that has already died. And she goes, oh, so that made, oh, she's so thrilled to get a different view of that. I said, I asked her, what has already come to an end in your life? Because that's what they're helping you clean up right now. She knew exactly what it was. She knew exactly. Now, some of my other little stories is I have had birds. I've had an owl in the middle of the day come flying down and land about 3 feet in front of me and just stand there and look at me. I used to live in New Mexico. I was out in the desert on a cliff edge, and I was sitting on this giant stone, this rock, and a massive hawk came down and landed on the rock with me and turned and looked at me. There were no other sounds. There were nothing else happening, and it came down and sat there and looked at me. Now, that was very, very significant. Different owls, different animals have different signals to us. So be aware. I was working with someone on the telephone and as a medium, and I was connecting with her mother, my client's mother, and I kept hearing this click, click, click at the window of my office. So I'm turning and looking at my window right now. I turned and looked at the window, and there was a cardinal. Now, here in the U.S., if you're listening from the U.S., a cardinal is a brilliant, brilliant red bird. So it was a male cardinal, brilliant red bird. And I finally said to my client, who was on the phone, I finally said, do cardinals, red birds, have a meaning for you? And she burst into tears, and she said, my mother loved cardinals, and that's exactly who was coming in, was her mother. So her mother literally sent the cardinal to tap on my window to give my client that message. See, I want you to notice these things now. Just notice them. Now, I'll put animals in their own category, which is number 11. And how you know, people say, well, how do I know what these things mean, what an animal means, what a bird means? Well, with animals, you look at how an animal, when it's alive, how it lives, how it survives, what are its characteristics, in other words. So I was seeing cranes, literally blue heron. I was seeing cranes all over the place. They were flying around all over the place. And I was seeing them every day. It began kind of wild. And so I said to my guides, all right, cranes are everywhere. I said, give me the message of cranes. And they showed me, literally, that here's the characteristics of cranes. They tend to stand still, and they don't work hard at all. They stand still until the fish or the frog, which they eat, comes to them. And so I got a huge, huge message about how I was working too hard at that time. So, you know, I love that. I love that example of the birds. And another example of animals is I looked out the window, and I had no reason to look out the window at that time of here in my home, and there was the most massive coyote I have ever seen. And he was jumping around getting a mouse is what he was doing. And then, you know, he paused and looked towards my window, and he turned and just trotted away like it was no big deal. And that was a very strong signal to me. I saw movement out in the air one day. I thought, what on earth am I seeing? And I ran outside and ran into the backyard, and there were more than hundreds. There were thousands of dragonflies. And the dragonflies just started to fly all around me. So they were like hanging out like a big, beautiful dragonfly cloud just there around me. Oh, my goodness, it was wonderful. So there's some examples of animals. Now, number 12, I got to hurry up here. Number 12 is accidents. Accidents, I will say that there are no accidents. That accidents symbolize thoughts and emotions that you're having. But also they're symbolic in the physical world of mostly things that we are struggling with. So my friend was struggling, here's my little example, my friend was struggling to go back to work after she had had, she was off for an operation. She was struggling to go back to work. She just didn't feel like she could yet, and yet she was supposed to go back to work. So on her way to work, she got in a terrible accident. On her way to a job that she didn't feel she was up for doing, and she was struggling to do it, and she had an accident and was back home again for another couple of weeks. So there's accidents. Numbers, this number 13, that you will see, and again, don't look for them, just notice, that the same number will repeat and repeat and repeat. A lot of people see on their clocks 1111. A lot of people will tell me they see the same number on license plates of cars. So there's lots of books out there about numbers. If you're interested in that, please notice a number. And especially what we want to notice about all this stuff is when it keeps repeating. Now, number 14 is literally repetitive life patterns. So, for example, I was fired, I kid you not, I was fired 4 times from a job. I was a manager or a regional manager for 4 different home health care companies, because I'm a registered nurse too. So there was a repetitive negative pattern in my life. I was fired 4 times, and I didn't do anything wrong. The companies kept getting bought, and the new company would put in their own management, and so we were all let go. So I finally said, all right, I've been fired 4 times from home health care. I got the message, I'll stop. And literally, if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't be sitting here with you right now. I wouldn't have all my books and, you know, teaching all over the world if I hadn't been fired 4 times from that job. That's just, it's not always about the job. It's a repetitive life pattern. Okay, meditation. When we're meditating, this is my pathway number 15, picture a woman told me that a picture of one of my books popped into her mind. And she said she had never heard of me. She didn't know what the book was. But in her meditation, see, the universe gave her a signal. And she said the front cover of one of my books, I don't even know what book it was, stood out in her mind. And when she had finished meditating, she Googled and found that book. So meditation, notice what pops in out of nowhere. Number 16 is photos. So I have photos will show up. I have photos of fairies. I have photos of orbs. I have some of the orbs have beautiful decorative patterns in them. Some of the orbs have faces in them. An orb, a brilliant ball of light about the size of, a golf ball, I think, hung in the air in front of me and a couple of my friends, and it was just brilliant. And then it zoomed down the pathway, and we just followed it until we couldn't follow it anymore. But mostly in photos. Look in your photos and look for brilliant white dots. And zoom in on those dots, and you will almost always see a little fairy. Okay, number 17, music. People will say, music, I just feel so connected with music. And the radio, I keep hearing the same song just keeps coming up on my car radio or things like that. What I want you to do now with music, though, is usually it's a specific lyric that we hear over the radio or TV, or a song sticks in our minds. But notice that it's not just the song. Notice the specific lyrics that you're hearing in your songs, okay? Okay, my last pathway is number 18, is living people around us are sending us stories all the time. They are sending us stories, and most of the time they don't know that they are sending us signals. They're sending us very important information. I had just left the attorney's office. I was going through a divorce with my husband. This was a gajillion years ago. And the attorney told me how horrible I was and told me that I better get everything I can get from my husband because I'll never make any money and I don't have any education and on and on. He went on and on and on. And I got into the elevator and there was a man there and I was crying and I just looked down at the floor and the man started whistling like the most beautiful canary. And he whistled like a canary all the way down, I don't know, I think 12 floors. I got out of the elevator and turned around and looked at him, and he was not there. The physical man was not there. He didn't get off the elevator with me, and he was not in the elevator. So be on the lookout for living people, for children, for adults, and look out for these moments in time that are beautiful. Just beautiful. And I have one more story to share with you to bring our time together to a close. My 16-year-old granddaughter shared an experience with me that she had in the small restaurant where she worked. And she wrote it out. She wrote it out and sent it to me. So here's her little story, my 16-year-old granddaughter. She said, one of my customers told me that I have the Holy Spirit in me. I think that is pretty cool. She's an older lady with black hair and has tons of crosses on her clothes and her jewelry. She actually came in almost 1 year ago and was dancing in the lobby to one of my favorite songs and smiling at me the whole time. I told two other people I work with that she is one of my guardian angels who has come to visit me. And then she goes on, last year when she came in, I literally could not stop crying. I'm going to cry reading this to you. I literally could not stop crying because her presence was so comforting and she really doesn't seem human. She just seems like a figure made of white light. So listen to the children all around you. That's number 18. Bless your heart. I thank you very, very much. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.